Week 6 of our rebound series. Here we go. Sunbury, welcome in. It's great to have you at Sunbury. Hopefully you're having a great time worshiping down there. So if this is your first time joining us, you've missed 5 weeks of a study in Nehemiah called Rebound, Coming Back Together. So if you have missed it, there are people who haven't. And those people like to memorize previous weeks. So they're going to help you out in recapping. But here's the good news for those of you who may not remember. All these words start with P. And so that's good, right? So week one, we studied how to pray boldly, then plan intentionally, then proceed confidently, then it was protect externally, then last week was protect internally. And today, we're going to focus on these two words about how we can, what? Praise humbly. Our scripture for today, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Let's pray. Jesus, we invite you here. These words are not mine, they're yours. Pierce hearts, pierce minds today. Show us what you have so that we can be better when we go outside these walls to accomplish your mission of bringing more and more people to the saving knowledge of your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we all say together, amen. Well, today, we're gonna study a place of praise. It's great because we get a look in to a church service in the year 450 BC. It's found in Nehemiah chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, if you're sitting at home, if you're at Sunbury, open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, last week we ended with Nehemiah chapter 5, so we're skipping a little bit, but we're going to revisit chapter 6 if you've looked in your outline. So if you did your reading, it's chapter 6, 7, and 8 for this week. We're going to focus on 8. You just heard the key verse, but before we get to the key verse, we're going to learn what's around it, because I think context is very important. And so there's certain things of praise that we need to realize. There's a place of praise, there's an intention of praise, and then we're gonna spend most of our time learning about what a posture of praise looks like. But let's look at the place of praise here. And all, what's this word? All the people, not some of the people, not most of the people, all. That means men, women, children. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. That's where all of God's people, they went to the water gate. Now, the walls, the gates, that's all built, that's all done. And the people asked to assemble. It wasn't the priests, it wasn't Ezra, it wasn't Nehemiah. The people said, okay, the work's done. Now let's get together at the water gate as we celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle. But before the Feast of the Tabernacle, which was basically a week-long celebration, before we do that, let's get together at the water gate as one people and let's celebrate by listening to God's word. So this is the place where they're at. It's a place of trustworthiness. Now, it was trustworthy because Ezra, which we haven't mentioned Ezra yet here in the story of Nehemiah, because Nehemiah hasn't mentioned Ezra yet, but there was a trustworthiness that the people had in Ezra to read the word of God. There was also a trustworthiness to know when we hear God's word, we're gonna trust that God's word is true. We're gonna trust that God's word can fill us up as one. And there was also a place of togetherness. The word all, the word as one. We come together as one, all of us. That's why we as a church need to continue to meet together as one, because when you're not here, which I don't know why when I say you're not here, those people that aren't here aren't gonna listen to that. But you're here now, but if you're not here next week, there's a piece of you missing because the all isn't there. Remember, all God's people came together. So when you're not here, when you're not gathering together, That means there is something missing. Someone is missing from the all-encompassing body of Jesus Christ. There was a togetherness, this sense of we're all in this together. And then there's also a place of regular freshness. See, the water gate has re-entered our story. When we talked about gates a few weeks ago, I didn't talk about the water gate. That was on purpose. Because the water gate today, and remember, the gates all had a powerful meaning. They were called the water. It was called the water gate for a reason. Water, fresh water, would come in through this gate and to allow people to refresh themselves with this fresh water, whether it was for a drink, whether it was to wash and be purified, or to wash their clothes. The water gate had a meaning, and it's interesting why they met at the water gate. Not only were they refreshed, and we sang about coming to the water, that Jesus is that living water, they came to the water gate to get refreshed by how? Reading God's word. When they read God's word, all the people were refreshed. And when they met at the water gate, it's that symbolic way of saying, if Jesus is our living water, and we give our life over to Jesus, when we come into his presence, when we come into a place of his presence, that means we have put ourselves in a position to be refreshed, to be renewed, because we're drinking in God's word, we're drinking in God's presence, and we're changed. So I hope you are entering your water gate. You are praising God at the water gate often. Now, the water gate could mean here in church. As one body, they came to the water gate. But because of Jesus, when we enter with Jesus into his presence, we are at the water gate too. So your water gate could be your closet. Your water gate could be kneeling down at your bedside. But the important thing is you have a water gate to go to be refreshed on a regular basis. Now, another thing about this church service, when they got together, that renewing of God's word, what happened was they read God's law. And so they would open the book to the law of Moses. It was most likely a scroll. And so just to illustrate what this 450 BC church service would have looked like, I want you all to turn to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read the first five books of the Bible, which is the Pentateuch, together. Don't worry, it'll only take 6 hours. That's all. It'll, in the beginning, God. Now, because I'm so sensitive to your needs to eat, to gather together, to make room for second service, I'm not going to read for 6 hours. But this church service here, this place where they gathered together, this was 6 hours of reading God's word and praising God. Imagine if I would spend 6 hours in the word, some of you would say, I'm going somewhere else. I can't do 6 hours. I don't even know if I could do 6 hours because I only have one bottle of water here. I might need a little bit more, but it's a place of freshness, a place of togetherness, a place where you can go to get refreshed. Together, this is important to be together, but also by yourself. Get together with God, wherever your water gate is. And then there was an intention. So there was the place, the water gate, the people all together worshiping, praising, reading God's word. But there was an intention. If you know me, my favorite word is what? Intentional. Because I believe if you're not intentional in this life about anything, you're going to fail at the thing that you want to succeed at. But because you're not intentional, you're probably failing. So there is an intention of praise. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law of Moses. They listened attentively. I can see you all are listening attentively. Hopefully, if you're listening online and you're in your living room, you don't have these distractions. You're listening attentively to God's word. Sunbury, I hope you're listening attentively because it's not my words, remember. This is God's words to you, to the people, to me as a person of God. Ezra was a place of focus. I love this. I guess I never really thought of this in the Old Testament, but Ezra stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. I think this is made of wood here. So in a way, you're experiencing Ezra reading God's word built for the occasion. Not only was there a stage, but we know that there was a pulpit as well. But the key thing is, the stage, the platform, the occasion wasn't to lift Ezra up. It was to lift God up, to lift God's word up. So there is a place of focus for all the people larger than what's here. Ezra needed to be raised up so God's word could be raised up. It's never about the speaker. It's never about me up here. I might be raised on this platform, but God is raised because of the platform. Whatever your platform is in your life, wherever God elevates you to, it's never about you. It's never about the presentation. It's always about God. It's always about his word that we need to reflect to the people. But I just love that visual. There was a pulpit and there was a stage to elevate God's word. So all the people had a place of focus. Also, we see this scene as well. On the stage, on the platform, Ezra was surrounded by men of God. You've all heard this proverb, probably. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. So Ezra here surrounded himself by men of God. And here's the scene. Beside him, on his right, on his left, stood Mattathiah. Now, remember names? If you're pregnant, if you're wanting a baby name, don't go to Google. I'm saying this again. Why name your kid Matthew when you can name him Mattathiah? You can still shorten it Matt later on in life if he doesn't like the... Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Padiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashum, Hashbadanah, how about that name, huh? So you can shorten that to Hash. Zechariah and Meshulam. I think if somebody actually uses these names, I'm gonna call them out and say, yay, thank you for listening. But what's important here is that Ezra surrounded himself with people of God. His closest people, who he trusted to share the stage, because 6 hours of reading wasn't just done by Ezra. And Nehemiah was up there too, but it was Ezra because Ezra represented the spiritual aspect of the voice of God, while Nehemiah was that leader, that civil leader as governor. Ezra acted as like the priest, the mouthpiece of God. That's why they asked for Ezra to read the law, because Ezra would have read the law anyways. He got there about 13 to 15 years before Nehemiah and helped rebuild the temple. Can I say another thing about what's cool about the Watergate as well, while we're kind of backing up? The Watergate, if you would go back and read Nehemiah about the gates, you would read that all the gates had to be rebuilt or built. If you read about the Watergate didn't have to be rebuilt or redone or built. So in all the destruction, you go back and read it, the Watergate that represents where they went for the presence of God was never destroyed. But when all the walls were built, the people got together for God's word, and this signifies something. Yes, we can build that safety here on earth. We can build walls, but the most important thing that we need to build is God's word into our life. Because you can always have somebody penetrate somewhere, but when we live by God's law and his word, and we're at the Watergate on a regular basis, Satan can't pierce us. He can't get to us because of God. Who are you surrounding yourself with? What people are you surrounding yourself with? And I always used to tell this to parents of teenagers. I said, make sure you know who your children's best friends are. Because this isn't just saying you always want to surround yourself with God's people. You don't always, Because we need to go out into the world and show people who Jesus is. But when it comes to your close friends who you share the stage and platform of your life with, those people need to be solid. Those people need to be ones that you trust. And so I always used to tell parents, make sure it's okay to know who your children's friends are, who they're hanging out with most. Because friends, our close friends, they have the ability to impact us like almost no other relationships can. So make sure you surround yourself with good people. Now, I want to spend a lot of time here. A posture of praise. Now, posture is important. Posture is defined as a particular attitude or pose, a particular way of dealing with or considering something. Posture is an attitude. So you could change this, not posture of praise, but an attitude of praise. I always used to say, and I still like to say, that there's power in posture. And when I was a teenager, we'd go to Hershey Park and different amusement parks just to have some fun together. And as you know, sometimes it can get busy and you can wait an hour or two in line for the best rides. And so talking about the power of posture, they say if you are confident enough, you can get in anywhere. If you act like you know what you're doing with your posture, because you know some postures when you go, when people are looking around, you're like, okay, they must be new here or they must be lost. And so they draw attention. But if you're confident and you go in and you nobody usually bothers you because you're confident. So I wanted to test this in line one time because I'm an extrovert. Sometimes I'm an introvert, but mostly I'm an extrovert. And so I just like to test things. So I said, hey guys, there's power in posture. I'm gonna see how far I can get. And like just by being confident, just by knowing this posture of confidence. And so I start my journey through the crowd. And one thing you don't do is you don't mess with crowds typically. You know, like it's kind of funny. This is just off topic. I probably don't have time for this. But you know, in a crowd, there's a long line and then there's a space. People get freaked out about those spaces. Fill that. Because I want to move 2 feet to just wait again. And it just always boggled my mind. It's like, why people freak out at the spaces? It's like, okay, let's walk a little further. But the space is closed, so now I'm more comfortable. But anyways, so I was making my way confidently through people. You know, something like, excuse me. Excuse me. But you know what happened? I didn't get very far. Because it didn't work. I guess I wasn't that confident. But here's the thing. I was confident for all the wrong reasons. I was trying to butt in line because I didn't have enough patience to wait because I wanted to prove a point because it's like, look what I did because of my confidence. When we have a posture of praise, it's not because of us. It's not to lift ourselves up and for us to be more confident. It's we stand with a posture of praise because we believe and trust in who our God is. Because he has won the victory, our posture of praise can be confident. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them, as we talked about. And as he opened it, the people all, there's that word again, all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There's a lot of posture changes in there, isn't there? First, they stood up. Stand up. All the people stood up. Now, there's a lot of things we stand for in our culture. When a bride comes down the aisle, we all stand and turn and watch the bride come. We also stand for our national anthem because we need to stand for our national anthem out of reverence and respect. We do that as a people. We stand when royalty comes in the room for this awe and reverence. We stand when we worship and praise God. That's why we have you stand when we praise God. But I wonder when we lost the reverence to God's word, that we kind of just settle in. Okay, we're to the point of the service where we can just sit back and hear God's word, which is a really good thing. But what happens is we can get lazy too in hearing God's word. when our posture is just sitting. I'm not telling you to stand for, you know, God's word. I'm not telling you to do that. But what I'm saying is there was something here that happened when the people stood up and they were sitting at one point. I don't know what they sat on back then, the ground, if they had chairs. I'm not sure. I thought about removing all the chairs in here today and having you sit down. But again, people are like, they don't have chairs. I'm going somewhere else. You know, it's, us people, we're just fickle like that, you know. But all the people stood up. There was a posture change. When the word of God was opened, the people stood up in reverence and respect for God. I say it like this. We need to get back to God's teaching rather than stand for cultural pleasing. When we stand for God's word, when we honor God here by coming here and we stand for God's word here, we can stand out there. This cultural thing, our importance, our impact in culture is directly affected to how much we revere God's teaching and God's law and God's word. It is directly affected because if we don't have reverence here, we're going to have too much reverence here in culture. And when that happens, we flip God's teaching upside down to please culture rather than please God. And we talked about that a little bit, but posture does something. When we stand for God's word in here, we can stand for God's word out there. Also, hands up. All the people lifted their hands. So they stood and they lifted their hands like this to God's word. Now, I love when Brinkley is doing something, when she wants her daddy to pick her up. What does she do? You've heard this before. She lifts her hands because she wants her daddy to comfort her, to help her, to guide her to another location in the room. And she lifts her hands, and I just look down at her. I'm like, yes, I will scoop you up. So when we lift our hands in praise, we are saying, Father, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. And there's something about this rather than this. Rather than this. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. There's a difference there in my heart. It just does something. It refocuses me on God and not my, like this. I can remember in college the most beautiful worship that I ever heard. The most beautiful praise happened to a girl about three rows back. I just heard this singing. And I was like, wow, that is loud. But it's beautiful. And I looked around and it was more beautiful because she was raising her hands. And she didn't even care that she was singing all the wrong notes. She couldn't carry a tune. But the humility in her praise caused me to literally have tears down my eyes when I listened to her total abandonment to praise. It was the most incredible thing. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not. God doesn't worry about the melody of the voice. He worries about the melody of your heart and lifting your heart. Word up. Word up. And the people responded, amen, amen. Did you know in the whole Old Testament, amen, an instance of amen only happens 11 times in the whole Old Testament. A lot of times in Psalms, but only 11 times. Two of them happen in the book of Nehemiah. I just thought that was an interesting thing. Only 11 times in the whole Old Testament, amen is mentioned. Now, some of you fact checkers out there, you're going to go through the whole Old Testament. I'm going to get him. It happened 12 times. I'm going to email him. How dare you only say 11? They responded, amen. But what this amen said was, so be it. Amen. So be it. We trust in God's word. When all the people said amen, they said, we trust that God's word is true. And they said it together. Amen, we believe. Amen, so be it. God, we trust you because your word is true. And get this, Revelation 3:14. These are the words of the what? Amen. Now this is uppercase amen, which means this is a name of Jesus. Jesus is the final amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. See, this is Old Testament worship, 450 BC. And so when they said amen, it was kind of a future amen, where now we're praising in the New Testament and we know we have a face to the amen. The face to the amen, his name is Jesus Christ. He is real. He will return a second time. His people will not miss it. When Jesus is the final stamp and the final amen, there's two things that are going to happen. Us believers, it's going to be a joyful amen. For non-believers, it's going to be a very sad amen, because not only is Jesus is the finality of sin, but he's the finality of judgment of sin as well, which is why our responsibility as a church is to say, listen, when the final amen comes, we want you to be on the right side of the amen, not the wrong side of the amen. But Jesus is the final amen. Also, face down. They worship the Lord with their faces to the ground. And so I can't imagine all the people with this posture right here. Face down to the ground. I wonder how many of you, when was the last time you had this posture? When was the last time? I know I look dumb probably, but you know, I don't care. Because posture is so important. There's a difference when we can change our posture. What's happened in your life that has caused you to be face down on the ground? When I read this scripture, studying it, this was the thing that got me the most, that challenged me the most. Is, man, when was the last time I fell flat on my face? Not to prove a point or a visual to you, but when I'm alone, man, face down on the ground saying, God, I'm yours. God, I surrender. Whatever is happening in my life, it's yours. But can you imagine a whole company face on the ground? It's just, the sight is incredible. And because their posture was right, there was this posture of joy. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve. Now, this is Nehemiah. Nehemiah enters the story here where it was Ezra reading the law. But the people just, they fell face down. They started to cry out loud and grieve, because when they heard God's law, they were convicted and they started to grieve and cry and wail, because, Father, we're not worthy. We have sinned. We need to get back to you. But then Nehemiah said, no, don't grieve. This is a joyous occasion. We've just finished the wall, but the Lord is your strength. Because the Lord is your strength, the Lord is your confidence, you can have joy. And joy should be written all over your face. Joy should be written all over your posture when you go outside these walls to a world, so that your joy is spread around and people can say, why the heck are you so joyful? Look at our world. Look what's going on. Look what's happened to you. But why are you so joyful? Why do you still smile? Why do you walk around with confidence? Well, it's not confidence in me. It's confidence in my God. And Nehemiah says, no, this occasion here, let's stop grieving. There's a moment to grieve, but there's even a greater moment to show joy in your life. So we're convicted of our sin. We come to Jesus, and from there, it is joy. That doesn't mean some bad or weird things aren't going to happen to you, but in the midst of that, if we believe the Lord is our strength, we're going to have joy. And this proper posture of praise, it can do a few things. It can protect us from traps. Backing up to chapter 6, Nehemiah said, but I prayed. I love those three words. Maybe it's a mirror moment for a couple of you. We need to write this down, put it on your mirror. But I prayed. They found melanoma on my arm. But I prayed. But I prayed. My child's away from the Lord. But I prayed. Why? So Jesus can strengthen my hands. So God can strengthen my hands. Nehemiah in this verse is being trapped by the enemy because the walls are built and done. So now the enemies of Israel, they want to get at the leader. They want to get at Nehemiah, because if they can trap Nehemiah, they can destroy the whole people. But Nehemiah prayed. His strength was not in himself. I'm a Notre Dame fan. Sorry, I grew up in Northern Indiana. That's just what I am. I'm a Notre Dame fan. And every time Notre Dame Fighting Irish, they have play like a champion today, right before they're ready to take the field, play like a champion today, I'm going to get in my office, because of this sermon, I'm going to get strength in my hands today. Pop it, go right into my office. Here's why. The enemies tried to trap Nehemiah because he prayed, because he was in tune with Jesus, with God. He succeeded. He didn't go, he didn't let him trap. I believe that Satan wants to trap me. I believe Satan wants me to fall terribly as a leader, as your lead pastor. That's why, one, I covet your prayers. But two, I need to be intentional. It's not by my strength. And I know that Satan wants to get at me, because if he can take down a leader, a lot of times he can take down the people. He can discourage the people. He can bring a bad name to God. And Satan wants to do that. But I need to be intentional. And I hope you're intentional about praying for your leadership here at the church, because Satan would love to take us down. But we're going to pray. He doesn't. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. This is the New Testament passage. It's still that protection, that the Lord is faithful and he'll strengthen and protect us. One, it'll instill fear into our enemy. I love this. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations, so heard about the finality of the wall, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of who? Our God. It wasn't Nehemiah and all them that they were afraid of. They were, but it was because of God. It was the help of God. Do you know that when the enemy was attacked, defeated by Jesus at the cross, and having disarmed the powers and the authorities, here in Colossians, he made a public spectacle of them, of the enemy, of Satan, of his demons, triumphing over them by the cross. See, our posture as believers is joy. Our posture is praise. Our posture is victory because of Jesus. Satan's posture is defeat. Believers, hear me on this. Do not live your life and walk around with a posture of defeat. We are victorious in Jesus. We are victorious in Jesus. And people need to see our posture, our humble posture. It's not about us. We're not confident because of us. We're confident because of God. Our posture is confident because of God. Because of this, a posture of victory is ours. And it drives out fear in ourselves. This proper posture helps us and the fears that we can have in this life. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day. Now, I want to get this right, because my first question when I read this is, well, how many days is that? Joshua, son of Nun, lived from 1355 to 1245 BC. This day was about 450 BC, so it was about 850 years. So for 850 years, when they would celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle, because they would celebrate, but this one was different. It hadn't been celebrated like this in 850 years, give or take a few years. Their joy was very great. Remember, the Tabernacle of the Feast was a week-long festival to celebrate God. But I believe now, because of the wall, in the 850 years that they lived basically in exile most of the time, they celebrated God. And so they said, before we start this festival of feast, what we're going to do is we're going to open God's word and we're going to praise him. 850 years it took for them to get back to the word of God that brought them the true joy. The source of their joy was the word of God, the law of God, and they celebrated it like this. Can you imagine the people just coming out of exile, taking this posture of praise and what it must have meant for them? There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishments. And because our sin is forgiven and we ask for forgiveness, God has cast it as far as the east is from the west, that he doesn't remember it. And so therefore we don't have an eternal punishment of our sin because of Jesus. But the one who fears, somebody needs to hear this today. The one who fears is not made perfect. in love. We need to allow our posture to help us out when we fear, because the proper posture of praise, when we humble ourselves before God, can literally take your fear away on the inside. And in fact, it should. Because if we're fearing, if we have a constant worry that paralyzes us, that perfect love is not in us. Jesus is not in us. And there's something that you can do today. Change your posture. Make a change in how you carry yourself. Make a change in your prayer life. Make a change if you haven't been here in person with us. Get here and see this environment of praise all together as one. How about you? Do you have a Watergate spot? Here in church, it's our Watergate spot. We come together. What about not just Sundays? Do you have a Watergate spot? Are you intentional about who you surround yourself with? What posture of praise do you need to work on the most? Think about that. Mine is face down. I need to get face down in front of my God. Pastor Ryan, are you back there? We have a couple minutes, Pastor Ryan. And you have your guitar, great. I just want to do something. We've just heard God's word, and now we can respond. Let's respond as one together in praise. We're just going to sing a couple choruses. But let's respond to God right now. Are you sitting there and you're worrying about something? Are you watching, you're worried about something? You have this fear inside of you? It's time to change the posture. A posture of love, a posture of victory. So we're gonna sing, we're gonna respond, we're gonna worship together, take whatever posture you want. But we're just gonna sing the choruses, and we're gonna have Pastor Ryan lead us together.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Sing, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Sing this. May the Spirit of
Father, we do need you. Father, come live inside of us. Father, I pray that we will go outside today and that we would be different. That if we need a posture change, we would do that. And Father, while we can lift our hands and we can stand, it's not really about external posture, but it's about our internal one. that humbleness that we have before you, that humble posture, that humble praise leads to a physical one. God, be with us. Heal us. Father, heal our nation, heal our land, and help us start right here with your church, your people. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, church, go have a praiseworthy and humble week.
Church Online, it is a privilege to be with you here this weekend as we worship the Lord together and have talked about what it means for us to praise God humbly. Where are you at? What does it look like for you to be in a position of praise, to have that posture, and really to surround yourself with others who will encourage you to seek after the Lord? Wherever you're at, and that's the beauty of Church Online, we get to gather together as long as there's Wi-Fi and worship the Lord. And we want to encourage you that as you go into this week and continue your day today, that you would seek after the heart of your Heavenly Father who has a good, pleasing, and perfect will for you as you worship Him and praise Him humbly. There's a couple things we want to make sure that you're aware of that are coming up to add to your calendar, and they're both happening at our Milton campus here at the end of this month. First is this, Valley Fest is coming up July 31 at 3 p.m. It is going to be an afternoon event into the evening with the theme One Day Forever Changed. Building 429 will be the headlining artist, and other national touring acts such as Aaron Cole and the Young Escape, and then local artists will also be a part of the day. You don't want to miss it. The gospel will be shared, so if you have some friends or family that love music and don't know Jesus, it's a great opportunity to invite them to be a part of it. The day before is WGRC's Fan Appreciation Day, July 30, here at our Milton campus also. They're both outdoor events, and on WGRC's Fan Appreciation Day on the 30th, Kane will be headlining that event. It'll be a wonderful time. That starts at 5 p.m. on Friday, and if you show up there, you get a $10 discount to come into Valley Fest. Valley Fest is $35, but if you come to WGRC Day, you get a coupon, and you'll save $10 to make it $25 on Saturday. The very next day, August 1st and August 8th, we will have outdoor services. Our auditorium will be being renovated, and in that process, we're going to have good old-fashioned church outside. There will be chairs available, but we would ask that you would bring your own to make space for others. It's a great opportunity to invite folks who have never been to church before, and we're going to be starting a brand new series as we go outside for our services together. So wherever you're at, maybe you've been considering coming onto our Milton campus or a physical location, and this would be a great opportunity to connect. August 1st and 8th will be outdoor services. You don't want to miss it. As always, if you've got a question about any of our weekend messages, you have an opportunity to go deeper with our podcast, Dive Deep. You can submit a question at cwc.life/dive-deep. And there you can ask a question that would take the message further. If you have any questions about what's happening, we want to make sure that you can stay connected by going to cwc.life, where you'll find more about your next steps and how you can be involved in the body of Christ and His work here locally at Christ Wesleyan Church. We're so excited to be with you. May God bless you as you walk through your week and praise Him humbly.